This is Alan Nathan of Radio America sitting in for Greg Corumbus and reporting for WorldNet Daily. Along with healthcare reform and cap and trade and the challenges in Iraq and Iran, Americans are slowly but surely becoming more and more aware of another impending mess, the question of our president's eligibility to be, well, president. At the heart of it is the very real fact that our president cannot, or will not, in the view of his critics, provide us with an actual birth certificate, one that reflects the doctor who was there and the hospital that accommodated the event. We're joined today by Jerome Corsi, best-selling author of The Obamanation and Unfit for Command. Jerome, thanks for being with us today.
Alan, great pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
On board as well is Martin Seif, veteran foreign correspondent with the Middle East Times and best-selling author of The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Middle East. Martin, thanks for joining us too.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Alan.
Now, gentlemen, to give us a sense of how acrimonious this has become, I thought it would be helpful to have a listen to Lou Dobbs of CNN, along with guests, syndicated columnist Roland Martin, and Texas Congressman Ted Poe.
President Obama promised transparency and openness in his administration, while the state of Hawaii says it can't release a paper copy of the president's original birth certificate because they say the state government discarded the original document when the health department records went electronic some 8 years ago. That explanation, however, has not satisfied some critics. Joining me now, Roland Martin, he's CNN contributor, syndicated columnist, and joining us as well, Congressman Ted Poe.
I think the president of the United States is a citizen, but what I don't understand is why he hasn't just produced it to get this noise out of the way.
That's the question, Roland Martin. What's the answer?
Well, first and foremost, he's produced the document he received from the state of Hawaii. Now, you're saying, where is the original? According to the state of Hawaii, that's the document that establishes where he was born. So what is the issue?
Ted Poe, Congressman, what's the issue?
The president has not produced a birth certificate. He's produced what is a birth announcement from the state of Hawaii. And this could all be settled if he would just produce the birth certificate.
Hawaii says it's an official document with their seal on it.
Because it's not a birth certificate. It's not even a copy of the birth certificate. It's a birth announcement. It's like me sending out a birth announcement for one of my...
No, that's an official document. What's in the newspaper is a birth announcement.
There's no reference there to the attending physician. There's no reference there to the hospital in which he was born. It is a certificate that refers to the fact that another certificate exists.
Is it an official state document of the state of Hawaii?
Let me try this again so I can be really clear about it. It is a document that says there's another document. This is just what people are concerned about.
Now, whose people? First of all, you got 13% of Americans.
600,000 people have signed a petition.
600,000. 13% of Americans, 39 million, still think he's Muslim. And we have done everything, Lou, to debunk that as an absolute lie. So it's irrelevant.
And that gives you a sense of what we've had in front of us, Lou, these past few weeks. That was actually 8 minutes truncated to 1 minute. Let me go to you first, Jerome Corsi. It seemed as if Roland Martin refused to acknowledge that the real measure of legitimacy wasn't necessarily how many people had to still be convinced that Barack Obama wasn't Muslim, or whether or not the document presented wasn't official, but rather the true measure is whether or not there is an actual birth certificate to empirically and unambiguously verify that the President of the United States has actually met the eligibility standards required. Because we understand, just by looking at WorldNet Daily, Joseph Farah wrote on this extensively, that not even the U.S. State Department would recognize this as a document necessary to obtain or worthy enough to obtain a passport.
Well, the short form certificate of live birth, even the state of Alaska, did not accept until recently as proof that you were born in Alaska. A lot of the departments would not accept that document to give out, for instance, land privileges or other rights that were only available to people actually born in Hawaii. Our State Department doesn't accept the short form because the states are notorious on issuing those short forms for people who come in and swear they were born in a particular state. There's other complicated issues in adoptions, for instance. Those short forms become the official record, and they mask a birth certificate that is put under seal that does prove the person was born in another state. So the issue here is really one of what in law would be considered best evidence. And I'm an investigative reporter. What I want to see is the original long-form birth certificate of President Obama. And I'm assuming, let's assume for a minute that everything President Obama says is true, that he's born in Hawaii just like he says he is. What's the problem? The whole issue can end today. President Obama says, okay, you all have wanted to see my long-form birth certificate. with the doctor, the hospital, the original, here it is. And that ends the deal. Instead of that, the White House, the campaign, have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars demonizing now everyone who even asks to see this document and calling us birthers, inventing a name. I mean, Saul Alinsky tactics ridicule your opponents, even from Robert Gibbs in the White House press room. None of that's necessary.
I've always found that the best way to disarm these folks is through Socratic dialogue. Point, counterpoint, counter to point,
exactly.
Counterpoint. And then all of a sudden they fall apart under the weight of their own unsubstantiality, to borrow a phrase from Hillary Clinton. Martin Seif, to you, denotatively or connotatively, it seems rather straightforward. You need to have a birth certificate, one that is actually able to verify the hospital in which you were born or the place exactly in which you were born and the people in attendance. The certificate of live birth, in this instance, has not been able to accomplish this. Now, some have thus far said there's a difference between a birth certificate and a certificate of live birth, but today, WorldNet Daily reported that a couple of twins who were born the day after Barack Obama in Hawaii had on their document that same terminology, a certificate of live birth. It was not called a birth certificate. So that particular objection, I don't know, has really been helped at all for those who wish to point out that Barack Obama is truly not eligible to be president. But all that notwithstanding, we still do not have any empirically verifiable proof of where this man was born, which hospital the birth took place, and who, as a physician, was in attendance. To you, Martin Seif.
Again, this ought to be above the board. It ought to be simple and straightforward, Alan. It ought to be a no-brainer. It's not a hole-in-one. It's a simple putt. All they have to do is produce the long-form birth certificate, as Jerome said. But what are they afraid of? Why are they accusing people of being birthers? Why is Robert Gibbs carrying out a new campaign of bullying from the White House pulpit? And I was on the receiving end of bullying campaigns from the George W. Bush White House pulpit. I found that contemptible. I find any abuse of power to deceive the American people on whatever issue contemptible. Why are they doing this if they have nothing to hide?
Also, Jerome, to you, there seems to be a catch-22 component to all of this. You are not eligible to be president unless you're a natural-born citizen. To take it right out of the Constitution, no person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained to the age of 35, and it continues and continues. Now, it strikes me that the standards are pretty straightforward, and this president apparently is legally entitled to continue hiding that which he is constitutionally obligated to disclose. Now, in my estimation of the Constitution, anytime legislative law conflicts with constitutional law trumps legislative law each and every time. Why is that not taking place here today?
Well, it's clear from the White House's reaction you've got a ideological pushback, which is reaching hysterical proportions from those supporting President Obama on this issue. I'm not saying that I have evidence he's born anywhere else. I'm saying let's accept that the president's telling the truth. Why can't the White House then produce the best evidence, which is the long-form birth certificate? And as an investigative reporter, it just sharpens all of my senses that there's a cover-up going on when we have to be demonized for asking, and hundreds of thousands of dollars are being spent to prevent the release of this document. So, you know, as I investigate, and I have since I wrote The Obamanation, many of the circumstances of Barack Obama's birth, his upbringing, there's fictionalization going on. The Dreams for My Father was a psychological biography. It didn't reveal, you know, the lovable Frank turns out to be the communist Frank Marshall Davis, who retired in Hawaii and wrote autobiographical sex novels. I mean, I can imagine why Barack Obama wanted to hide that Frank was Frank Marshall Davis, but it took me an enormous amount to get the campaign after I wrote The Obamanation to admit that fact. And we're going through the same kind of process now, when all I'm asking for is for the Obama long-form birth certificate to be produced, and I'm saying, let's assume that he's telling the truth. Why can't we see the document?
You know, Martin, to you, one thing we noticed, and again, I want to refer to Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily. He did a marvelous piece that encapsulated so much of this. And as you know, I'm sitting in for Greg Corumbus, who's the normal reporter with Radio America and WorldNet Daily, and it's been a pleasure doing so. I'll be resuming, of course, Battleline with Alan Nathan this week after Greg's return. So I thought it'd be fitting to have my final interview with you guys on this subject, and it gives me a chance to, again, reference Joseph Farah. He encapsulated quite brilliantly a piece on July 23rd that really puts this all together, and I urge everyone to go ahead and look at it. The title is The ABCs of Eligibility. Between the lines, The ABCs of Eligibility. And one of the things he lists here is that supposed questions brought to him. Why do you focus so much attention on the birth certificate as opposed to other questions like Obama's foreign travels, his student records, his passports, and whether he could be considered a natural-born citizen on the basis of his father's status as a Kenyan citizen? Joseph's answer was, it all starts with the birth certificate. As an investigative reporter, I was taught to start at the beginning of any story to lay a foundation of truth upon which the story could tell itself. Without a legitimate long-form birth certificate, I suggest to you, we do not know with any certainty who Obama's parents were. All we have is his story. If his story is good enough for us, then we should just accept it at face value and move on. I'm as curious as anyone about the many other unanswered questions concerning Obama's life. But if we can't get something as simple as his birth certificate, we're never going to get to the other answers we seek. And I submit to you, Martin Seif, this is one of those seminal moments wherein somebody would actually have a legitimate right to revolt against a rebellious government. Because if our government in the aggregate thinks that it has the right to transcend the authority of the Constitution and can do so in such a definitive fashion, then I'm not quite sure people fully understand just how potentially violent of a situation this could evolve into. Am I over-exaggerating, Martin Seif?
I don't think you're over-exaggerating the potential danger at all, Alan. I have many areas of admiration for the president. I think the signs on the economy are in the short term more hopeful now than they were even a month ago. We wish him well. But the economy could go down the tubes very fast. We could face appalling national security crises, which most Americans don't realize, from some lunatic in Iran pressing a nuclear button and firing a missile, which we would be defenseless to stop from destroying an American city. We face challenges around the world. It is crucially important that the president's constitutional grounding in a situation which should be easily confirmed and taken for granted should be confirmed. Produce the long-form birth certificate, Mr. President. Allow the state of Hawaii to do so. The documentation ought to be there. Put, as Jerome said, put the speculation to rest. A second and most crucial point is that it is vitally important in any democracy, as you said, Alan, we have to know who we voted for. We have to know who people really are. The Republicans worked very hard to try and dig out dirt that actually didn't exist on Bill Clinton. They tried to find in British records in 1992 evidence that President Clinton, when he was a Rhodes Scholar student more than 20 years before, had secretly visited the Soviet Union. The claim came up false. As far as I know, there was no such documentation ever appeared, but the search was made.
The search was made. Jerome, to you, one thing that I'm finding very tedious, and this is going to be the last question here, is the inability of folks to understand that you can't rely on state or even federal legislative law to act as a shield to protect you from living up to a standard that is mandated by constitutional law. Folks don't realize that not one of these three branches have the right to thwart the dictates of the very document from which their powers are derived and to which they are each subordinate. And whether these individual branches do the violating or they decide to do it in the aggregate, it is simply not constitutionally permissible. Now, I'm perfectly familiar with judicial review, Mulberry versus Madison, 1803, giving the Supreme Court the authority to interpret the Constitution when determining whether or not challenged legislative law passes constitutional muster. And I know there's a lot of leeway in there, and it kind of makes sense because often the Constitution just does not have the corresponding language to deal with a particular challenge in focus. However, when the Constitution does provide direct wording, and the Supreme Court or anybody else disregards our founding document on point, well, then it has committed a hostile act against the American people. Is that not fair to say, Jerome Corsi?
Well, I agree with you, and I'll go one more here. There's another issue that I just want to quickly end on, and that is, just take a look at Lou Dobbs. Now, you've got John Klein, the head of CNN. He writes a letter to Lou Dobbs' producers and says, this birth certificate's a dead issue. Why is it a dead issue? Because a client asserts the Hawaii Department destroyed the original birth certificate when they went electronic in 2001. I call up the Hawaii Department. The Hawaii Department spokesperson, Janice Okubu, says, we never destroyed anything. We still have all the original paper, long-form birth certificates. We've got them all.
Yeah, but she can't release anything to you unless Obama says it's okay.
Correct. But here's the point I want to make.
Why is it he is allowed to hide behind that when the law behind which he is hiding is subordinate to the constitutional law that requires him to fess up and demonstrate?
I grant your point. You're right. But I'm trying to make another point on top of that. And my point is this, that CNN is supposed to be a news-gathering organization. Now, if the head of CNN, John Klein, can't even get his facts right, what kind of a news-gathering organization is this? And he's pushing an ideological point. In other words, Mr. Dobbs, you may not pursue this birth certificate issue because it's adverse to President Obama, and CNN wants to support Obama, so you can't do that.
You know what? I tell you, when I was a national television correspondent, I would have been fired had I done that. Because if you don't have universal standards of neutrality when presenting facts in their self-evident form, you are essentially not fulfilling the dictates of true, authentic journalism. And I used to be a correspondent on a show called The Insiders with Jack Anderson on the Financial News Network years ago. And I would have been fired had I tried to pull in any of this stuff.
Well, how about the head of CNN getting his facts wrong?
It's just inexcusable.
What kind of a news organization is that?
In fact, lie a little bit. I do have one final question. One of the things that seems to be in great preponderance is this knee-jerk reaction to call anybody who imposes dissent against Obama a racist. A racist. It looks like this White House will, each and every time, pretty much project the impression that the only permissible dissent is their own against others. But any counter-arguments are automatically a personal slight, a racial slur, or a slap in the face against unity. Unity, of course, that's contingent upon everybody else's compromise but their own. On this particular matter, will the false charge of racism work as an effective shield, or will this grow to an extent wherein we'll no longer find such a strategy effective? To you first, Martin Seif.
I think they can get away with it if the economy gets better. When people are feeling good, issues become peripheral. Bill Clinton benefited from this dramatically on the Whitewater and on other issues. President Bush was widely criticized on his Iraq policy. But even when casualties were quite high, he won the re-election very easily in 2004. He only got into real trouble when the economy got into real trouble. And I think the same thing will apply, Alan, with President Obama in this case. But even if the economy does improve, I do not think these issues are going to go away. I think it's extremely troubling that an administration that came in claiming to bring in far higher standards of transparency is in fact applying far lower standards of transparency. I think Jerome made a crucial point when the Hawaii spokeswoman, clearly an honest and efficient lady, made the point that the forms have not been destroyed. If they haven't been destroyed, therefore the president can put this speculation to rest immediately, and he should do so. If he doesn't do so, people are inevitably going to ask why, and as you rightly said, this is a huge constitutional matter. There have been so many amendments to the United States Constitution over the past 220 years, but the requirement that to be president of the United States, you have to be born in the United States, a requirement which Thomas Jefferson and his supporters forced into the Constitution because they were terrified that Alexander Hamilton, who was born in the West Indies, would impose a dictatorship on the United States if he could become president. This particular provision has never been revised. Not a single Republican or Democratic Congress has ever seen fit to initiate a new amendment to the Constitution to change that crucial provision.
Let me go to Jerome Corsi now. Jerome, last word from you. Do you think the Obama administration and their apologists will get away with using the false charge of the race card as a way to circumvent the otherwise more reliable accountability?
It's a losing strategy. Of course, Axelrod, the others in the Obama White House are Saul Alinsky trained. They've been taught as knee-jerk socialists to utilize the ridiculing your opponents that Saul Alinsky taught in Rules for Radicals. Old communist technique, don't answer the question, call your opponent a name, point a finger, to try to get people not to listen to them. But there's millions of Americans who can't understand the issue either. What's the president hiding? He did come in, like Martin said, on transparency. And so the long-form birth certificate, you know, I'll take exception with Jack Nicholson in the movie. The American people are saying, we can handle the truth. Show us the original long-form birth certificate. And if President Obama doesn't do that, the issue isn't going to go away.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to have to let that be the last word, but it's really been a pleasure having both of you on, and can't thank you enough. First to you, Jerome Corsi. Thanks again. We appreciate it. And also Martin Sieve. This is Alan Nathan of Radio America, sitting in for Greg Corumbus and reporting for WorldNet Daily.